AIB has cut some of its mortgage rates in a move that consumers hope will prompt its rivals to also reduce lending rates. It's reducing the cost of its green mortgages, which tend to have lower rates and are available for properties with a BER, a building energy rating of B3 or higher. These homes tend to be more efficient and are cheaper to run. AIB and its subsidiaries EBS and Haven will cut their green mortgage rates by 0.2 percentage points from today. Well, on the line is Mark Cohen, founder of Money Sherpa. Mark, welcome back to the programme. And we mentioned there the BER, the building energy rating of B3 or higher. One would assume that that's really newer houses, certainly houses that have been built in recent decades, unless a retrofitting has taken place.
Yeah, that's right, Owen. Good morning. Yeah, it's certainly great to have a little bit of good news on mortgages after all the gloomy stuff for the last couple of years. But you're right. This mainly is good news for new buyers who are looking at buying new build homes. So this is really targeted for people buying new build homes whose rating actually is A now in terms of everything that's new built. There will be some homes eligible, either recently built or, as you say, retrofitted or upgraded. If you're relatively recently built, you can upgrade your home relatively cheaply to obtain these rates. But that said, the kind of level of cut that we're talking about here isn't kind of gigantic. As you say, it's 0.2% on the four-year green rate. Permanent TSB cut their four-year rate by 0.3% 3 weeks ago. I think in of itself, these cuts will only shave around €40 off the typical new mortgage. But the hope, just as you said, is that this signals the start of cuts and that we'll see fixed rates come down more generally and more significantly.
Do you think it will? Do you think other lenders might follow suit? Or because it's so small, will they just say, oh, sure, let AIB off there, we'll continue to do our own thing?
Yeah, I think what's going on behind the scenes here is predictions on the ECB refinance rate. So the banks finance themselves off the European Central Bank. The latest survey of professional forecasters is predicting that the ECB refinance rate, which currently is at 4.5%, that's what's driven the trackers through the roof over the last kind of 18 months, that 4.5% will come down to 3.75% by the end of this year and settle in around 3% next year. So coming down, the banks are almost kind of predicting that's going to happen. There's a high degree of confidence that that will happen. So I suspect that, yeah, there will be cuts happening more generally from lenders. Now, I think it's really important to say that there is no expectation in that survey or in the markets that will ever return to the 0% ECB rates that we saw after the financial crash, that very unusual period that lasted for over 10 years. The predictions are 3%, but 3% is 1.5% lower than we see today. So that will definitely mean some movement in the fixed rates, I would say, over the next year and a half.
I was reading a quote from Geraldine Casey, who's the Managing Director of Retail Banking with AIB. She says, I would encourage customers to check if they're eligible for a cheaper rate, particularly those who have carried out retrofitting work on their homes to improve the energy rating to between A1 and B3. She says, reducing our green mortgage rates aligns with our strategy to further green our loan book as we support customers to make more sustainable choices. Finally, Mark, and I would ask you this, just thinking about electricity for the moment, and we've seen UNO Energy, which is a new player to the market, coming in with lower prices, and then the older players, so to speak, looking at their prices and saying, we might have to cut them here or else UNO is going to snap up all the customers. Do you think we need another new player in the mortgage market, in the mortgage game?
Yeah, I mean, There was one entry at the turn of the year. A new lender called Mojo Mortgages entered the market. There is talk of another player entering. And also the credit unions really are putting it up to the banks right now. Some of the better rates are actually coming out of the credit unions. I kind of expect that based on the fall that we've seen in the that we're about to see in the ECB rates, that rates will probably come around down by about 0.75%. So that will probably, on the fixed rates, that will probably knock around €100 a month off the typical mortgage. So I think there is a positive trajectory. The one thing I would call out, though, is with house prices rising, if you are able to buy now, I wouldn't hold off buying, because house prices are rising quicker than rates are going to fall. It just isn't worthwhile. So if you are kind of in a position to either buy or to fix your rate, I wouldn't be trying to play the market and look for kind of this €100 extra off the new mortgage. I think the cost of doing that and the risk of doing that far outweighs the benefit of acting now.
Mark Cohen, founder of Money Sherpa, good to talk to you again, and thanks for joining us. And to remind listeners, AIB has cut some of its mortgage rates in a move that consumers will hope to prompt its rivals to also reduce lending rates, so cutting their green mortgage rates by 0.2 percentage points from today. Coming up after the break, we talk about the deposit return scheme.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
We've been asking you throughout the programme to have your say on our listener poll this morning, whether or not you feel as though the deposit return scheme is currently working. 80% of you said no, while 20% of you said yes. I'm just going to read some of the messages briefly here from both sides. One saying, no, the recycling of bottles and cans not working. The house is becoming cluttered. Keeping them stored to go to the recycling machines in stores is a pain in the neck. Another one that says, no, the deposit return scheme is definitely not working. I was at a store in Maynooth on Saturday and the floor around the return scheme was grubby and smelly, where liquid must have been spilled. The bins around were overflowing with bottles and bags. These bottles must have been rejected, so people just threw them in the nearest bin. It was not nice to see. If we look then at some of those that have said yes, and a listener says that I do be out litter picking on the roads. I've noticed a big reduction in the amount of bottles and cans that have been thrown along the roads, so seeing it as a positive. Another one saying, I haven't seen cans or bottles with the return logo yet. Not sure how much old stock my local shop has, but it's annoying. I am still charged for the deposit and I can't return it. I know the scheme from Germany, where it has been in place for years, so I believe once we get the teething issues sorted, it'll be as normal as getting a chipper after the pub, says Carissa in Naas. Lots of different messages coming in speaking about people's views on the deposit return scheme. Conor Pope is on the line, who is Consumer Affairs Correspondent with the Irish Times. And Conor, you had a piece in the paper recently about this, with readers getting in touch with you expressing their views on it. What was the general sentiment? I know you were talking particularly to a woman from Galway.
Yeah, no, a lot of what our readers are saying, and it's not just that one story or two stories that were published, we're getting a lot of correspondence in from readers. People are disconcerted with how the scheme is running so far, and it echoes a lot of what your listeners have said, in the sense that people want to do the right thing. They want to return the bottles or the cans, and when they get to the shops, they find out that the vending machines or the reverse vending machines aren't working. And that is incredibly infuriating for people, because not only have they paid the deposit, but then when they try and do the right thing, they're stymied because the machines aren't working. Now, I've spoken to Return, the company that are the operators of the new deposit return scheme, and they say that 85% of the machines are working are functioning as normal, and they're very keen that people get in touch with them if they come across machines that aren't working. And 85% obviously sounds like a good number, sounds like a high number, but it's a long way short of 100%. And I think one of the things that really needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed as a matter of urgency, is the fact that you need consumers to buy into this scheme. this scheme on the surface, this scheme, when you look at it kind of in a detached and distant way, is a really good idea. Because what it does is it incentivizes people to recycle, and it turns the kind of rubbish that was ending up in bins, landfill and in our seas into something that has monetary value. So the idea that you could get that plastic and you could get it recycled more extensively is a good thing. But the scheme needs to be working properly. And if 15% of people are struggling or 20% of people are struggling, well, then it's a real problem. And I really do think there's an imperative on the organisers and indeed on the retailers to make sure that they just do the basic things right and they get the machines to work. Because if they're not working, people are going to get more and more agitated. They're not going to buy into the scheme and the whole thing could easily fall apart. And that's not what we want, because I think there's two comparisons here you could make. There's the comparison you could make with the plastic bag levy. Now, the plastic bag levy is 20 years old, and it's probably one of the best things that any government has introduced in our country in the last 20 years, because what it did was, overnight, it got rid of the plastic bags that were a blight on our landscape. And we went from having around 4 or 5% of the rubbish on our streets being plastic bags to less than 0.5%. It worked. Then you have, and I hate to bring up mention the war, but you have the water charges, which was in its first iteration introduced as an environmental charge and would be better for the environment. And then quickly that all fell apart. You don't want that to happen to this levy. You don't want that to happen to this deposit scheme. And that's why I think it's incumbent on those who are running it to make sure that it's running properly.
What about the couple of arguments then that I'm sure you will have heard, Conor, and we've been contacted by listeners as well, that say, A, I was recycling anyway, and I was recycling religiously at home. All of these bottles were going into my green bin. That's what I'm paying the bin company for, to recycle these bottles. And B, then, those who maybe can't get to a deposit return scheme machine, they go shopping once a week and then they just have all these bottles building up in the house. Why wouldn't they throw them into their bin?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a couple of things I would say. And again, I'm not an advocate for the scheme, but say is that we're running recycling around 60-65% of the plastic bottles and cans that we generate in this country. We need to get to more than 90%. So this is a scheme that is designed to get us to that magic number of more than 90%. And the reality here is that they're not targeting people who are drinking cans of soft drinks or beers or water or whatever it might be in their home. They're targeting the people who are out and about. And the idea that aluminium cans or tin cans that could be recycled in perpetuity forever end up in landfill or end up being incinerated is just unconscionable when you think of the environmental crisis that we're facing. So anything that gets those aluminium cans recycled more effectively is welcome. It's a pain for you, it's a pain for me, it's a pain for all your listeners, but sometimes doing the right thing takes a bit of effort. Okay? So that's the point I'd make about people saying, well, I was recycling anyway. Sometimes this stuff takes effort, and we need to get to the 95%. The other point I'd make is that the plastic, the way it works, and this is the way it should work, Owen, rather than necessarily the way it's working right now, the plastics that we want to be recycling in these machines, if they're segregated better, you can recycle a plastic water bottle 7 or 8 times. Now, that means that you're reducing the amount of carbon-intense petrochemicals that are coming out of the ground to make those plastic bottles from virgin plastic. So again, it's a good thing, but it has to run properly. And I have great sympathy for people who struggle to get to the vending machines, and that's why I think there needs to be more access to them across the community so that you don't have to necessarily do your big shop. But other than that, I think people are just going to have to get used to drinking your plastic bottle or your can of Coke or whatever it might be and putting it into a bag and then bringing it to your local Aldi, Tesco, Lidl, Dunnes, Superquin or whatever, Super Value, whatever it might be. But it has to work. I mean, there's nothing more, and this goes back to the story in the Irish Times from yesterday, there's nothing more infuriating than somebody doing the right thing, going into their local big supermarket only to be told, oh yeah, sorry, the machine's not working, come back again tomorrow. That's not acceptable, and that's where the problems are resting right now.
I just want to read a message that's come into us as well from Liz, and again, I totally accept, Conor, you're not here to defend it or to speak on behalf. We're just echoing the sentiments of people that have contacted you and contacted us. Liz says, good morning. I store all my returns tidy in the boot of my car. I shop in Dunn's every week and I could have a possible €14 off my shopping also with the Dunn's voucher. I'm actually saving money and the children are recycling more as well. well. So Liz is saying that, you know, she's using the money that she gets from the deposit return scheme towards her shopping, so saving money. Other people would say, sure, this is just another tax on us. This is another way of taking money off us. But that's only if you don't bring the bottles back.
No, absolutely. So, by the way, your listener there, I don't know if she's necessarily saving the money because she's paid the money in the deposit in the first instance. So, you know, she's getting the voucher from the return scheme, but she's already paid that up front. So it's not like she's making any kind of savings. It's at best cost neutral for her. But, like, I completely understand that this is hassle for people. This is not like, it's much easier for you and I to throw our plastic and our tins into the into the recycling bins in our homes and bring them out onto the street. And the scheme isn't really designed to target that. That's why, for instance, like, you know, a tin of beans isn't part of the scheme. Because, you know, typically those kinds of things will get recycled in the home. It is very much aimed at the people buying the bottle of water on the street, drinking the bottle of water, and then just chucking it in the bin. Now, what we've done, instead of that being rubbish that somebody can discard, we have placed a value on it. And we have said, OK, well, would you be happy to just throw 15 cents into the bin? Well, and just, the answer for most people probably is no.
I just want to pick up on that point.
Just
to pick up on that point then, Connor, and again, this is just coming to the top of my head then, should it not have just been on like single bottles of water or single cans of Coke? Because people are saying, if you go in and buy 24 cans of Coke or 24 bottles of water, you then have to return those 24 bottles. So if it's targeting the people on the street, nobody on the street is going to walk in, buy 24 cans of Coke, drink 24 cans of Coke, and then have to bring them back to the positive return scheme.
100%. Do you know what? I couldn't actually agree with you more. Because like a lot of people would buy, let's say, 6 1.5-litre bottles of water, okay, as a multi-pack in a supermarket, if they can't, for whatever reason, drink the tap water in their homes. It seems kind of unfair that they're targeted, because you're not going to drink those 6 1.5-litre bottles of water on the street. Mm. You know, you're just not. And this is where I will use the defence, for want of a better word, that I am not a spokesperson for the return scheme. So I completely agree with you. Had I been God, that's what I would have done, because that seems to me to make more sense. But having said that, that's not what's been done. And I'm sure somebody somewhere could give you all sorts of reasons why they chose not to do that. But that, to me, would make more sense. If it was a big multi-pack that you're more likely to consume in the home, well, then it should maybe have been exempt from the scheme. And I personally can say that if they'd done that, it would have saved me a few bob. Yeah. Because, you know, I have young kids, and for their sins or for my sins, they like the occasional fruit shoot type drink. You buy them in multi-packs, and I now pay 15 cents per bottle. They're all going into my recycling at home, and that's costing me extra money. It's unfortunate for me, but I do think that the essence of the scheme is in the intentions of the scheme, rather, are good. And anything that gets people to divert rubbish that would otherwise go into landfill or be incinerated into a recycling bag or into a recycling machine is a good thing. But the machines need to work. It's that simple.
One thing is, it's going to continue, the debate and the conversation around it is going to continue. A lot of people talking about it, but Conor Pope, thanks so much for joining us on the programme. By the way, love the show on RTE
that you do.
I think it's a great show, and I watch it
religiously. Every Thursday at 7 p.m, the Complaints Bureau, tune in.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, well done on that, and well done on this piece as well. Conor Pope, Consumer Affairs Correspondent with the Irish Times, thanks for your time this morning. Talking about the deposit return scheme, and thanks to all the listeners that have texted in to us and shared their views on it as well. Time to open up our competition then for today. All this week we are giving away two pairs of choice tickets per day for the Punchestown Racing Festival, which starts on Tuesday the 30th of April and runs up until Saturday the 4th of May. There's earlier start times on the Tuesday and the Wednesday this year at 2:30, and choice tickets allow the holder to attend any one of the first 3 days. So if you win these tickets, or if you buy choice tickets, then you can go along on either the Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday. And all you have to do to be in with a chance of winning, text the word Punchestown followed by your name and where you're from and your email address to 0833 97 97 97 because these tickets will be emailed to you. So your name, where you're from, the word Punchestown and your email address to 0833 97 97 97 announcing the two winners of those choice tickets before 11 o'clock.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Message into us that says, when we were young, we got 5p back on a glass mineral bottle. The price of the bottle when full was probably 25p, so that's 20% of the original spend. Bring back 5 empty bottles and you got enough for a full bottle. Now the refund is probably only 3% of the original spend. That means it takes a return of 20 bottles or more to get enough to buy a full bottle. And this listener saying it's not a huge incentive for some to save their empty bottles. Yeah, it's something that is going to continue and a lot of people are giving out about it. Another one that says, I just got in on the last of the conversation on recycling cans. Anything that reduces waste is a good thing. My concern is that big companies don't have a recycle machine and they go through thousands of cans. I think this would be a massive opportunity for a charity to see if they could put a system in place to collect those, and that comes in from Pat down in Monastrevin. Thanks for that message, Pat, and hope you're well. Let's go to Athy then, and along the Barrow Blue Way, my next guest sent a message in to us to express concern at sulky racing and cars driving along the Barrow Blue Way in Athy. And for those who don't know what sulky races is, it's, you know, where a horse is being raced with a cart on the back. Let's call him George, not his real name, but George, welcome to the programme and thanks for taking our call. What exactly was your experience along the Barrow Blue Way in Athy?
Yeah, Owen, can you hear me?
I can.
Yes, we were, a friend of mine, we were out walking 2 weeks ago on the Blue Way between the bridge in Castle Mitchell and Ballymanus Bridge, and we were about halfway down and we met four individuals on sulkies travelling at speed. Now, our issue is, we mentioned it to the lads on them that they shouldn't have been on it, and we got verbal abuse and we were told that we would be effed into the canal and so on. So we proceeded to go down towards the bridge and we were looking behind us all the way thinking that they were going to go up to the coffee shop and turn around and come back towards us at speed. Now, the problem is that there is no deterrent or anything like it to stop access in onto the Blue Way. It's freely and easily available. And also, in the event that there is, for example, we would say a mother and father travelling down there with a couple of children on bikes, and the kids go ahead of the parents, as we've seen them do, and it's great to see it. But if they meet, and these kids could be only 7 or 8 years old, if they meet 3 or 4 of these travelling at maybe 15, 20 kilometres an hour, what's the first thing they do? They get a fright. Where do they go? They're looking around for mum and dad. These things are going to keep coming. So there's only two options. You either jump into the ditch or you jump into the canal. And that's not acceptable.
Hmm.
Because if it keeps going on, people are going to get fed up of walking on the Blue Way. And this is not the first time. This happened before Christmas as well. And I put a call into Waterways Ireland. And in fairness, I did get a return call before Christmas and I got one yesterday on it. But there doesn't seem to be an indefinite deterrent for coming from Waterways to solve this issue of restricted access.
Hang on the line for me, George. Labour Councillor Aoife Breslin is also with me on the line. And Aoife, is the Blue Way not really targeted to walkers and cyclists? So the first question that I would have is, how are cars and how are sulky racers getting onto the Blue Way?
From what we can ascertain, and I have spoken to George in great detail over the last couple of days in relation to it, that they are being able to get on, there's access points that they can manage to get onto, and also there is a situation that they are carrying them across the gates that are there, but there are access points that they can get onto the Blue Way from the road that probably is along it as well. The cars, more so that I had reports in the last couple of weeks, in the cars were up along Woodstock in as high that they were accessing there. Now, I know some work was done on the gate there so that they couldn't access them any longer there. But look, George's concern, it's a huge concern. The amount of money that has been spent on a natural amenity, that is absolutely fantastic. And Owen, you've been covering stories and we've had it over, oh, there's nothing in a tie. This is a gracious asset that families, individuals and anybody has in a tie. And there is a handful of people who have now decided to take the law into their own hands and use it for sulky racing up and down. And not alone sulky racing. We have issues of motorbikes on it on occasion. It is not good enough. There has to be a sense of responsibility. And before this problem gets out of hand completely, I have tabled a motion to the area meeting on Monday asking that measures be put in place to stop this occurring. I do believe from my discussions that it has occurred. It may have occurred in another area in County Leash, and there were certain measures put in place. I have spoken at length with the sergeant here in Athy in relation to the horse bylaws and what needs to be done at that. And I will be calling on Monday for a meeting or a special forum to be set up between Waterways Ireland, Kildare County Council and An Garda Síochána for once and for all to eradicate this problem before it becomes a major issue on a constant basis.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're, I travelled the walk the other day and on Sunday particularly, you know, and I counted 45 people from Lennon's Bridge in Athy out to Vicarstown using it. Groups of ones, groups of twos and groups of runners. And to say if they came upon these sulkies, even one sulky, it is highly, highly dangerous. And those individuals who may be listening to your show, I would say to them, please cop on. It is not made for sulky racing.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the point. This is not about discriminating here or anything.
Absolutely not.
Not about that whatsoever,
no.
Aoife, because this, the Blue Way, as I say, and the Green Way, they're meant for walkers and cyclists. Mm-hmm. They're not meant for sulkies and they're not meant for cars. But should, like, I mean, as far as I'm aware, and George, you can come in on this, where they're getting in, can you not just lift up the barrier and just open the gate yourself and drive your car in or put your sulky racing in there?
Owen, I went up to Lock 27 the other day, which is opposite the old Sabine pub, okay? And I walked from there up to the bridge at the Stradbally Road. And out of that, I also made a video of it. Out of that, I got that I can actually drive my car up to that lock, drive around the building there, drive straight out to the bridge at Castle Mitchell, unimpeded. All I have to do is get out of the car at the gate, pull the pin, same as you would at your gate at home, and drive straight, keep going. Like, that's not good enough. There's people involved in this, engineers, on both sides, as I was told yesterday from Waterways Ireland. Like, there's a fantastic facility there. It's free. It's safe, supposedly to be safe. But why is this kind of thing being put almost like an afterthought? Or we'll do the Blue Way first, then we'll see what happens, and then we'll put in deterrents. Let's go the other way. Do it, finish it properly.
Right, Aoife Breslin, final word to you. The main thing really that's needed in these gates is that they're wide enough to allow buggies and wheelchair access through. They don't need to be wide enough so the cars can get through. That's not what it's intended
well,
for.
Well, there may be some, and look, you know, I'm not playing devil's advocate here, there may be some issues in relation to safety, you know, if an ambulance or emergency service is needed. But, you know, and the problem is, you know, the people have to take responsibility for their actions. And, you know, sulky racing is not permitted, and neither is any vehicles within the Blue Way. And unfortunately, we're living in a climate now that we have to go and prevent these things happening. You know, long ago, And I sound like Clem now in many respects. You know, years ago, people wouldn't do it because it wasn't acceptable. Unfortunately, you know, people now decide what is acceptable is a lot different to previous. And so they now say, yes, we're allowed to sulky race, or we should be allowed to sulky race, or we should be allowed to use vehicles on the blueway. No, we should not. And unfortunately now, local politicians have to engage with the services of Waterways Ireland, Kildare County Council and An Garda Síochán to prevent it. But I'm saying, look, whoever's listening to your radio programme, and I intend to make sure that measures are put in place along with my colleagues, but I'm saying anybody who is into sulky racing, please think about it. You wouldn't like your children or your parents or anybody else to be caught up in a situation that could arise. So I'm asking from now on, stay away from there and let us put the measures in place, because you are now infringing on other people's enjoyment.
Okay, listen, we'll follow up on it. I know you're bringing it forward to Kildare County Council on Monday, Aoife, and I'm sure we'll speak to you after that meeting next week. Thanks to Labour Councillor Aoife Breslin and also to George for joining us on the programme, for expressing concerns there and raising this issue. Thanks to you both and good morning. Going back to the messages then that have come in and back to the deposit return scheme, Mag says people should just stop buying plastic. I buy curtains and I don't have any issues with the deposit return scheme. Another one says, I was giving my cans and bottles to Athgarvan GAA Club for recycling and they were making money out of it. But now, because I'm bringing them back to Dunn Stores, they are losing out. Larry M has texted in to say there is a certain bottle of energy drink that I would buy regularly, and since the new recycling scheme was set up, the price of the bottle has gone up 30 cent. As far as I knew, there were only supposed to put 15 cent on it to cover the cost of recycling. That was my understanding as well, Larry. Another listener says that ramps should be put on the walkways along the blueways. I see the point that you're making. That might stop sulky racing, it might stop cars, but you have to think, what about those that are in wheelchairs? What about buggies as well? If there were ramps, it probably wouldn't be overly accessible for those people. Another one in here says, we are a family of four adults. Our returns are stored outside under a gardening table. They stay dry regardless of weather. Weekly shopping in Dunn's, take a container and then use it at the till for packing groceries. Also with the voucher, we opened up a gift card as a Christmas saving scheme. Another message here says, could you wish Anne Purcell from the Curra a very happy birthday? 85 today. That comes in from her son-in-law, PJ, Tina and Connor. She listens to the show every morning. Great stuff. Good to have you along, Anne Purcell. Big shout out to you. Happy birthday to you there on the Curra. 85 years young. And here's to the next 85 years, says you. Final chance to enter into our competition then this morning. Our Punchestown giveaway. We have two pairs of choice tickets for the Punchestown Festival, which starts on Tuesday the 30th of April, runs up until Saturday the 4th of May, with racing starting at the earlier time on Tuesday and Wednesday at 2:30. Choice tickets allow the holder to attend on any one of the first 3 days and to be given a chance of winning. All you have to do is text the word Punchestown, followed by your name, where you're from and your email address to 0833 97 97 97. Get texting because the lines close in the next couple of minutes. Fine Gael councillor on the claim, Maynooth Municipal District, Brendan Wise. Good morning, Brendan.
Morning, Owen.
Local issues that you raised with Kildare County Council, Brendan, and first of all, you wanted them to install warning signs on the approach roads to the entrance of Timahoe Playground to make it safer.
Yeah, this was a joint motion with Councillor Brendan Weld, who would have worked on the actual installation of this playground. The playground at Timahoe Owen is down a typical country lane just off the main road, but it's narrow and bendy. And the issue is that I'm hearing there is, if you're not from that area and you drive around the corner, this entrance of the playground is right on top of you. So what we're looking for is just simply entrance signs telling people slow down, you're going to be coming up to a busy area. It is a busy playground. It serves a lot of people from Timahoe, Allenwood, and there have been concerns about cars trying to pull out and people speeding there. So this might make a small difference, and the council agreed that they go ahead and do that.
Any update on when the back lanes in Coyle Dove will be fully resurfaced? A couple of listeners have contacted us to say that they're in a bad state of repair, potholes, etc.
They are, and I'll tell you that in particular, the front row in Kyle Dove, that'd be the row of houses at the credit union. And Councillor Weld, who again, this was a joint question with Councillor Weld, asked last year that we would put something into the roads programme to get those back lanes repaired. Because as you say, you can patch them so much on and then they actually start to become uneven from the patching and then puddles form. And if you're trying to bring out wheelie bins, or as you say, if you have buggies or that, they kind of become too uneven and unsafe. So we did ask for that funding. It wasn't done this year. The council engineer said he had other priorities, which is understandable. He asked us about using local property tax maybe, but that's being allocated for this year. So it looks like we have to keep pushing for funding for these on. But we're aware of the unsafe nature of them, and we are trying to find the funding, and we're still trying to progress it, really.
Finally then, Brendan, any update on the installation of signs warning drivers of pedestrians and cyclists at Derry Mullen or Bond Bridge and the Station Road in Allen Wood? We spoke about this previously, where people are walking from one side of the bridge to the other along the canal, and maybe some motorists, if they're not familiar with the bridge, won't expect pedestrians.
That's it, Owen, and I did raise it before. I think it was last year it was agreed that warning signs would go up. Now, they haven't been installed yet, but you're right. If you're coming from the Kilmeag or Newbridge side and you don't know the area, you come over the Derry Mullen Bridge, there will be people on the road because there's no footpath. There's a steep drop down to a ditch and you're forced to be out on the road. And you regularly would see people, and especially this time of year, there'll be more and more people walking on the canal. So these warning signs just let you know, if you're not familiar, when you're coming over this bridge, you could see somebody on the road. And I'm told they're waiting on delivery of the signs, and I was told at the meeting in the next 2 weeks. So hopefully on, but it would go a long way to making that bridge a bit safer.
Just a quick word, actually. We spoke to Dara Fitzpatrick about this yesterday, and while we're in the Derry Mullen area, there's a road which is public, but it's not recorded as public anymore on the council mapping system. What's happening there?
Yeah, that's very interesting, Mano, because the current mapping system doesn't have it as public. Now, working with the residents, myself and Councillor Fitzpatrick, did get some pieces of evidence. We found a planning application from the 90s where the council actually referred to that lane as a county road. So that was one piece of evidence. And then a second thing, really a strong piece of evidence, a letter to a resident from the council engineer at the time showing that road marked as a public road, and we handed that in and the council accepted that evidence. So it's unfortunate that the system somehow came out of line with what the reality of that it is a public road, but now the council have acknowledged that it is and it can be repaired, because it was getting into a bad state on while this situation developed and we were kind of pushing it along as fast as we could. But without that evidence, and thanks to the residents for working with us on that and for being patient, but thanks also to the council staff for resolving it in the end.
Fine Gael councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, Brendan Wise, thanks for that, Brendan. Just to give out the details then of our two winners of our competition this morning, a pair of choice tickets for the Punchestown Festival at the end of the month and the start of May. Tony Lahart in Ballymore Eustace, well done to you, and Karen McBride in Kilmeag. You've both won yourselves a pair of choice tickets for Punchestown. We've more to give away tomorrow and on Thursday and on Friday, so be sure to join us for that.